Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are you?
Great. It is good to be here. As always, I am right where I'm supposed to be. How are you?
I am doing well. It's Monday, April the 5th, and we're past April Fool's Day, although we still have a fool in the White House. And we are doing good. Happy belated Easter to our global patriots. Happy belated Passover to you and yours and to our Israeli friends, and my Israeli friends in Israel as well. So.
Yep. And to the atheists, just a big howdy-do.
Happy Rabbit's Day, that rascally rabbit. And speaking of rascals, how about in PGA news, Jordan Spieth broke the ice, 4-year drought, and he appears to be back on the winning track after winning the Valero Texas Open in Austin this past weekend. He held off, who was it, Matt Wallace and America's Charlie Hoffman, actually, on Sunday. It's the last PGA tourney to qualify for the Masters this coming weekend. And for those not in the top 50 world rankings or previous Master winners or winners of the U.S. and British Opens and PGA Championship, there are other ways to qualify for the Masters, including the winning the Valero Open. And I think the PGA South America and Pan America winners and the PGA Asian and European Tour winners also get a qualifier in there. And and then the top 12 from last year's Masters get an automatic invite, even if they're outside the top 50 world ranking. So it was Spieth's 12th PGA Tour win, his first since 2017. And he is also one shy of winning the Grand Slam. So maybe this is a little bit of a of an opportunity for him to possibly vie for the PGA Championship, which is the only missing piece of the Grand Slam. He's won the British, he's won the U.S. Open, and he's won the Masters. And with the Masters, he gets that lifetime exemption to play, which is pretty cool. The British, he gets to play until he's 60 years old without qualifying. So that's really cool. So,
yeah, his game's on fire. In fact, it's boring golf. He's so consistent, and but he did have a couple of great flop shots, and he did generate some excitement. So, congratulations, Mr. Spieth. It's good to see him back, and like you said, a couple of old names on the leaderboard we haven't seen in some time. So that's good. So the big weekend's next week. Did you qualify this year? I can't recall.
No, that one is no. The Masters, I would never qualify for that. The only way I would qualify for the Masters is if I was to win the U.S. Open after winning the U.S. Senior Open. So that would be that would be a stretch. Hey, but there is hope because 62-year-old Bernard Langer, you know, he's got a lifetime exemption to play, and he finished in the top, I want to say the top 12 last year in the last year of Masters at 62 years old. So, I mean, you know, that gives us old guys some hope, you know.
That's who I'm rooting for. I like Bernard Langer. Good man.
Yeah.
Good family man. Just an all-around good guy. And to play at that level at 62, to still have your body survive, hats off to him.
You ain't kidding. That is very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting to see what happens this coming weekend. Yeah. The big boys will be back in Augusta. And you know what? Augusta will be in great shape. They'll be playing it at the usual time in April instead of playing it in November. So that's also, you'll see the azaleas in full bloom. And the course is just spectacular. I mean, and you know what the cool thing is about that? And we'll get to it certainly later on today, is the Masters is not going to bow to the fictitious cries and the false propaganda of the new Georgia voting law. So, you know, congratulations to the PGA and congratulations to the Masters, the people at Augusta National, for not falling for the lies and mis and disinformation that is being put out there by the left-wing propagandists, the Democrat Communist Party. So, you know, my hat's off to the PGA, my hat's off to Augusta National for not buying the bullshit that's being thrown out there by the communists. And,
and they didn't even miss a beat. So congratulations to them.
Didn't miss
a beat. And then for your basketball fans, big night tonight.
Oh, did you see the game Saturday?
I saw both of them, and they were fantastic.
How about that? A buzzer-beating basket at the right at the buzzer in overtime, where Gonzaga beat UCLA. Unbelievable! What an absolute shot! I mean, Gonzaga wins the game over UCLA 93-90, but I got to say, you know, UCLA is legitimate. They played Gonzaga fantastic. They have nothing to hang their heads on. You hate to lose, certainly. You know, that was the game to get into the finals tonight, which it would to go against Baylor. But the UCLA game was absolutely fantastic. Oh, my God.
Yep. 14-point underdogs. They beat the spread. They almost won the game. Gonzaga was there, but they weren't quite there. They were a little bit like Florida State. They were a little bit – they were just a fraction slower than they normally were. They just – they weren't Gonzaga, and they nearly lost the game because of it. But look at it. They're undefeated, 31-0.
That's impressive.
You know how big that is?
That's
like
huge.
Winning 31 games and no losses. That's what it's like.
What is that? Wow. Oh, my God. Are you serious? I wonder if they're going to have counseling for all the teams that they beat, because now they have all those teams that they beat that had losses, and it's just not fair. Everybody should get a trophy. Oh, my God.
Well, they should. Well, Houston's probably crying in their milk. I mean, I didn't think the Baylor-Houston game was going to be such a blowout, but Baylor looked pretty good. So, but I'm putting my money on Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga looked past UCLA. You know, here they are, the 11th seed. They got in by virtue of winning, and they were the bracket busting team this year. And I was really impressed with UCLA. And maybe it was just that Gonzaga was looking past them, you know, in hopes to get, you know, and thinking that they were automatically going to, you know, play Baylor, but it wasn't automatic. They did a great job.
No.
Kudos to them. What a great shot. This will go down just like the Christian Laettner shot when Duke beat Kentucky at the buzzer in the NCAA finals. So, and he banked it. He banked it.
Yep. Well, UCLA, like you said, played the game of the season for them. They were phenomenal, fast as lightning, and I think they deserve to win, quite frankly. I think they won the game. I mean, they didn't, but
they
were pretty damn close. For being 14-point underdogs, absolutely huge. Great game. I think that's going to be better than the final that starts at 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's with that?
That's the usual time. It gets over about 11, 1130.
I don't like it. Too late.
They can get it. Well, you know what? I think what happened was the NCAA knew we were broadcasting, so they wanted to make sure there was no overlap. So.
Well, I appreciate that, but 9:20 is just too late.
Oh, I drink some milk. I'm actually having my cup, my 4-cup of espresso, not my usual because I screwed it up. I got greedy, and you know what? Since Belly's here in the chat room, I cheated. I put cream in it, and the cream was bad. And you know what? That was just the way of saying that you shouldn't have cheated. So I had to modify my espresso and used an espresso along with my other espresso machine instead of the traditional coffee pot way. So. It's actually not bad. Yesterday was the NCAA Women's Basketball
Championship. But you survived, right?
I survived.
You survived.
Yes. Yes. I don't need counseling. I don't need to. I'm not crying. I don't need a safe room.
Well,
I just improvised.
People may not have been able to overcome this calamity.
So true. It was a calamity, Al. It was awful.
You're a brave man. You know that.
We shall.
You are one brave man. The kids of today could learn from you.
Bye, Mom. Yeah, Iggy's in the room. She has to leave. So sorry. Hopefully listen on the in the archives. We're just kind of shooting the breeze here, kind of letting the espresso kick in. So the NCAA Women's Basketball Champion yesterday, Arizona versus Stanford. The Lady Stanford Cardinals beat Arizona 54-53. And I guess it came down to the final seconds with Arizona taking and missing the final shot to give Stanford Cardinals a win. So the transgenderless Stanford Lady Cardinals claimed their first NCAA women's title since 1992. Congrats to the transgenderless Lady Cardinals of Stanford. And, of course, as Al said, tonight's game is Baylor versus Gonzaga. And speaking of transgender, poor Jim Acosta is suffering from post-Trump stress disorder. And, you know, what an obnoxious and what a slight against the men and women who are really and truly suffering from PTSD. You know, because if you go with the acronym.
What, do they have espresso issues?
You know what? This is what kind of pussy Jim Acosta is, okay? At 5:43, my espresso is ruined. My four cups of espresso is ruined. And I just think outside the box. And by 5:46, I have, you know, a five cup of espresso, and I just improvised. And, you know, but poor Jim Acosta, he's suffering from post-Trump stress disorder, as he lamented on TV with the other communist fraud at DNC, CNN, Brian Stelter. You know, it's unbelievable how liberalism, how progressivism, how these communists have such a dishonest disorder. I mean, really a post-Trump stress disorder. This is what the snowflakes on the left have come down to. Okay. Well, President Trump, he caused so much stress. You know what? If you would have treated him with some respect, if you would have treated President Trump with respect, if you would have treated him as President of the United States, you know, as much as this man afforded himself to the media, contrary to what Dictator Joe has done, what, one press conference in the last 70 days? You know, President Trump could have two a day if you allowed, and you heard it directly from him. Here you've got Baghdad Bob Jensaki with the propaganda queen, who gives you absolute nonsense and gibberish, and she looks at you and she tries to think of an answer. And then you've got poor Jim Acosta. He's got post-Trump stress disorder. Oh, what a spaghetti-spined wimp. An absolute wuss. But you know what? That's liberalism. That's progressivism. This is communism. This is the dishonest Democrat Party. These are the snowflakes of the left. And this is how dishonest and disingenuous they truly are. Don't even feel sorry for
Jim
Acosta.
Oh, Jim Acosta is a big baby.
Without a
Get
doubt.
Get right down to it.
Oh, a baby isn't the word. I mean, it just goes to show how dishonest the media is in America, but also how I'm sure, you know, how the left wing wants to program, you know, everyone to think that they're the victim. I mean, they are the victim. They treated the President of the United States with total disrespect. They had no class, and they have no conscience. And now they suffer from a disorder. And they use the acronym PTSD with their phony and feigned outrage. Well, screw them, okay? And you know what? Go on disability. Beat yourself, your head against the wall and sit there in a rubber room, you know, and you know what? Drivel like a little baby, okay? Go suck your thumb. Give them a pacifier, okay, so they can sit there and they can whine, okay? No one wants to hear from them. Assholes. But did you hear about the knife-wielding man who was shot by police outside the U.S. Capitol this past Friday? The knife-wielding man and his car rammed into a barrier on the Senate side of the U.S. Capitol, striking two U.S. police officers, leaving one dead and the other injured. Then the knife-wielding man jumped out of his vehicle wielding a knife and stabbed another officer before he was shot dead by Capitol Police. The suspect was 25-year-old Noah Green, a supporter of the Nation of Islam, and Louis, Calypso Louis Farrakhan. Now, this was the second Islamic Jihad attack on American soil in 2 weeks. And, of course, the sanitizing of Islam started quickly with the Metropolitan Police Department acting chief Robert Conte said in a briefing, the attack did not appear to be terrorism related. Oh, wow. What a great jihad denial. Okay. I wonder if he got his talking points from the Muslim Brotherhood who are located in the United States White House. You know, a devout follower of Calypso Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, but this doesn't appear to be an act of terrorism. The follower of Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad driving a vehicle through a barrier, killing a police officer. And by the way, the Capitol police officer's name is William Billy Evans, an 18-year veteran of the U.S. Capitol Police Department or police force. The guy was wielding a knife. But you know something? It gets even better than that, ladies and gentlemen. Because the anti-constitutional jihad denier, incestuous Ilhan Omar, immediately called for more gun control measures. That's right, a gun control measure. Here you've got an Islamic jihadist who uses, one, his vehicle, and then uses a knife in his Islamic jihadi attack. And the jihad denier, incestuous Ilhan Omar, immediately calls for gun control measures. The anti-American Omar didn't waste any time after the attack. But one problem, the 25-year-old Muslim male jihadi used a knife and a vehicle. So does the anti-constitutional jihad denier Omar also seek to ban knives in Washington, D.C., such as her fellow Muslim mayor in London, London Mayor Khanjab? This is how much of a disgrace Omar is. She tweets out her condolences to the Capitol Police and the loss of the Capitol Police officer's life. And you know something? Agree 100%. I cannot disagree with sending out condolences to the Capitol Police and the Capitol Police's loss of their fellow officer. But the anti-constitutional Sharia compliant jihad denier couldn't leave it at that. She had to politicize the jihadi attack with her comments. Omar tweeted out, heartbroken to learn another Capitol Police was killed while protecting the Capitol. My thoughts and prayers go out to the officer's family and the entire Capitol Police force. You know what? Cannot disagree with that statement. But this is where the anti-American Ilhan Omar couldn't help herself. She goes on to write in a tweet, the death toll would have been worse if the assailant had an AR-15 instead of a knife. He didn't have an AR-15. He didn't have a gun. He had a knife. Why even bring up the fact that he had AR-15? This is how dishonest jihad denier Omar gets. The death toll would have been worse if the assailant had an AR-15 instead of a knife? What a worthless woman. Maybe if the Islamic Jihad terrorist didn't use a car but used a tank, he could have continued through the barrier and he could have taken more lives. I mean, this is how retarded this anti-American Sharia-compliant woman is. Maybe if the Islamic Jihadist terrorist did what a fellow Islamic Jihadist terrorist did in New York City driving down a bike trail in Washington, D.C., and he ran over killing 8 bicyclists like he did in New York City. This is how dishonest the jihad denier, Sharia-compliant Omar is. But I will tell you this. Representative Greg Murphy of North Carolina didn't stand for that retarded and ridiculous comment by anti-American Omar. So what was the response from Representative Greg Murphy? He responded, would have been worse at Ilhan if they had been flying planes into the building also. What a great response. You know, Omar couldn't leave it at, her thoughts and prayers go out to the officer's family and the entire Capitol Police Force. She would have left it like that. Nothing else would have been said. Matter of fact, would have applauded her for that. But Representative Murphy nailed it. He nailed it. And you know why he nailed it? Because the Muslim Brotherhood and their anti-American front groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations took exception to the comment. Yet they're okay with Sharia Omar's uncalled for anti-constitutional insensitive remarks. You see, with the Muslim Brotherhood, it's a one-way street. They're jihad deniers. And again, they look to deflect from the individual who committed the crime, who committed the terrorist attack in Washington, D.C., a 25-year-old male, a follower of the Nation of Islam, and a believer of Allah and Muhammad. But CARE doesn't want that to be the story. CARE wants to play the victim card. And here's the anti-American CARE statement against Representative Greg Murphy. CARE strongly condemns Representative Murphy for invoking the September 11 terror attacks while insulting a member of Congress who is a Muslim. It is disrespectful to the victims of 9/11 attacks, to their families, and to the countless Muslims and other minority hate crime victims who were targeted in the wake of 9/11. His bigoted comment only served to perpetuate the climate of hate that we are witnessing nationwide. Oh, well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Nowhere in the tweet did Representative Murphy tweet he mentioned 9/11. Does Hamas CARE feel guilty of that? Nowhere in Representative Murphy's tweet did he attack Omar for 9/11 or accuse Omar for 9/11. But CARE wouldn't stop there. One may disagree with a colleague without resorting to racism, Islamophobia, or any other bigotry. We hope Representative Murphy's Republican colleagues will condemn this Islamophobic attack and not just look the other way as they did with Muslim members of Congress who were attacked similarly in the past. Oh, one may disagree with a colleague without resorting to racism? There was absolutely not a racist remark in Representative Murphy's one-sentence reply to the anti-constitutional Omar. Not one racist remark. Would have been worse, Ilhan, if they had been flying planes into the building also. Now, where is the racist remark? And remember, Islam's not a race. There was no racist remark. There was no bigoted remark. There was no Islamophobic remark. You see, but the jihad deniers like CARE, like the Muslim Brotherhood, like ISNA, like Ilhan Omar, okay, they want to deflect from the real story. The real story was a 25-year-old Islamic jihadist attacked the U.S. Capitol using his vehicle and a knife. He killed a U.S. Capitol police officer. But you see, this is how phony, this is how disingenuous, this is how un-American Hamas CARE is. They are allowed to define the individual by bullying and maligning a person with a phony charge of racism or Islamophobia in a quest to build a victim campaign. Make incestuous Ilhan Omar into a victim. The anti-constitutional, anti-American jihad denier Omar is now the victim in CARE's eyes. Now, I'm not sure where the racist remarks were by Representative Murphy, as the fraudulent Hamas CARE put it out there, nor was there any bigotry. But you see, who's going to challenge these radical anti-Americans who use the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment? You see, they are seeking to deny Representative Murphy's First Amendment right of speech. It's okay that Ilhan Omar makes such an insensitive remark. It's okay that the anti-American Omar, you know, makes this a political issue instead of leaving it as sending her prayers out to the Capitol Police. No, she has to politicize it. She has to insert an anti-constitutional statement in there. What if he had an AR-15? Well, he didn't have an AR-15. He had a fucking knife, dummy. Make phony claims and accusations meant to shut people up, instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers by bullying them. Call them racist. Call them Islamophobes. Call them bigots. When, in fact, there was nothing in the statement by Representative Murphy that even remotely would have called her a racist, called him a racist. It's exactly what Hamas Care has done. They bully, they intimidate, they instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. Hamas Care immediately turned the table and made the phony Sharia-compliant Ilhan Omar the victim, even for her callous, reckless, and uncalled-for comments. She just couldn't leave it at prayers to the entire Capitol Police family. She had to slither even further down and inject politics, communist anti-American politics, inject her biased, anti-constitutional, insensitive remarks. This is how destructive the Democrat Communist Party truly is. The Democrat Communist Party immediately cries for more gun control in a knife attack. Whether it's Sharia-compliant jihad denier Omar or anti-American Muslim Brotherhood jihad deniers Hamas Care, it's always the same. Never identify or acknowledge the Islamic jihadist who commits the heinous act of terror. Deflect it. When I say don't acknowledge it, Hamas Care website doesn't acknowledge the jihad attack in Boulder, Colorado, just 2 weeks ago. 10 white people killed at the hands of an Islamic jihadist. Nor was there anything in the press release on April 2nd, on CARE's press release April 3rd, or CARE's press release April 4th, or CARE's press release on April 5th about a Muslim brother driving a vehicle through a barricade in Washington, D.C. and killing a Capitol Police officer, and then exiting the vehicle in true Islamic fashion, wielding a knife and stabbing another police officer. Nowhere. Nowhere on CARE's website do they even mention the Boulder, Colorado jihad attack, nor the jihad attack on this past Friday. You see, don't acknowledge the Islamic terror attacks. If you don't mention it, it didn't happen. The true jihad deniers. But immediately find it out by playing the victim. And in this case, it was perfect timing to run cover for the anti-American Sharia-compliant Omar. Not to mention 25-year-old Nation of Islam, Islamic jihadist Noah Green. Sweep the actions of the 25-year-old Muslim male jihadi terrorist under the proverbial prayer rug. Sweep the actions of a 21-year-old Muslim male jihadi in Boulder, Colorado. 10 Americans dead at the hands of a 21-year-old Muslim male jihadi in Boulder, Colorado. You know, no one's talked about those people. No one's talked about their names. Denny Strong, age 20. Nevin Stanzik, 23. Ricky Oles, 25. Trelona Barkowick, 49. Suzanne Fountain, 59. Terry Laker, 51. Boulder Police Officer Eric Talley, 51, Kevin Mahoney, 61, Lynn Murray, 62, Jody Waters, 65, 10 people, 10 innocent Americans dead at the hands of a 21-year-old Syrian Muslim male jihadi. No one talks about those 10 people. And suddenly, anti-American incestuous Ilhan Omar is now the victim. Bullshit. A Capitol Police officer killed by a 25-year-old male jihadist, United States Capitol Police Officer William Billy Evans. But Hamas Care doesn't want you to know their names, the names of the true victims of Islamic Jihad. Oh, and it's not just Hamas Care, but it's the DNC MSNBC as well. Because you know what? They still haven't issued a retraction, Al, in their condemnation of the terror attack in Washington, D.C. DNC MSNBC immediately went on the white nationalist thread, the white supremacist angle, condemning the terrorist attack on a white man. Oh my goodness, what do we do? It turns out it was a black Muslim man with the Nation of Islam, supporter of Louis Farrakhan. DNC MSNBC went into Hunter Biden mode and they went silent. No apologies for their irrational and reckless statement, nor their condemnation of a white person. The fashionable thing with the Democrat destructive party is to divide America, quickly insert and invoke race and run. Go immediately to the identity politics of it and blame the white man, no matter if it's true or not. And, of course, the Capitol Islamic terror attack, well, that is not true. It didn't happen, right?
It happened.
Yes, it happened. You're darn right it happened. And these jihad deniers, and I got to say, you and I spoke briefly, but bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, he's got a great blogspot. If you want all sorts of links to news articles, go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And today he's got an article from Front Page Magazine. This thing is fantastic. Noah Green, and not all Muslims do that. Read it. It's fantastic. It's by Jamie Glassoff, and Jamie Glassoff nails it. And I owe the comment of jihad denier to Jamie Glassoff, because that is a perfect example of the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups who deny jihad. They deflect jihad, and they deflect from the true perpetrators of the Islamic terror attack, and they immediately go into victim mode. They've now made the incestuous anti-American Ilhan Omar the victim. And it's really sick what they will do. They won't acknowledge that there's a problem with the Islamic world in their Islamic community. They don't call for these jihad attacks to stop. Now, this is the second jihad attack in just 2 weeks since dictator Joe took office. And there's been no acknowledgement by the Muslim Brotherhood, nor their front groups. They now go into victim mode. But Jamie Glassoff nails it. He nails it in his article in Front Page Magazine. I urge you to read it. Noah Green, and not all Muslims do that. And you'll see it in Front Page Magazine. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and you can access this article or go direct to frontpagemag.com.
And he
disgusting,
boils, Al. Oh, it's a great article. He boils it down like this. And in order to sustain this jihad denial that you've been talking about, we find not only a shrewd deception, but also a ruthlessness and heartlessness. The whole paradigm is a reflection of the left's callous disregard for the victims of jihad and Sharia, victims who include Muslims, such as Muslim girls and women who suffer immensely under Islamic gender apartheid, where they are affected by every barbarity from female genital mutilation to forced marriage, forced veiling, segregation. Mantras such as, not all Muslims do that, do absolutely nothing to defend these victims of Islam or future victims of Islam inside or outside of Islam. And they do absolutely nothing to protect the world from Islamic jihad and stealth jihad, whether it be here in our republic, the United States of America, or elsewhere, any other country in the West. To the contrary, we are enabling our enemy by denying who and what our enemy is. And we do it over and over and over again. And Noah X is just the latest example of us with jihad denial. And like the what happened in Atlanta, it became an Asian racial attack when it wasn't even a racial attack.
Exactly. Exactly. It was an Asian
massage parlor, three of them, an illegal enterprise where people are going to get prostitutes and get happy endings. And there's probably a very healthy human slave trade going on through there to provide these Asian prostitutes. That was all left out of the scenario.
No one talks about how the Mexican drug cartels staff their massage parlors in New York and New Jersey by human trafficking women. And sometimes women underage into these facilities, and they imprison these women and they use the sex slaves. But hey, you can't talk about that, okay? Oh no! Now all of a sudden you have to deny exactly what happened in Atlanta.
No, you can't even call it what it is. The newspapers called it a spa. A spa is where women go to get their fingernails done and their toenails done. A massage parlor is where people go to get a happy ending, and that's kind of illegal. There's a big difference between a spa and a massage parlor. But the media focuses on spa.
Oh, honey, I'm going to the spa.
You're going to go work out at the gym, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, dear. But you've been four times this week. What about the kids' college fund? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll be working overtime at the spa. I mean, going to the spa. I got to be healthy. If I don't go, I could die of a heart attack. My doctor said so.
God, you can't, you know, it's funny. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is how far, I don't know, would you say we're fallen, or the propaganda machine that's in full swing on the left is truly amazing. It is absolutely incredible that they are allowed to lie, cheat, and steal, and they're allowed to define the individuals. You know, it's now acceptable under the DNC media to sanitize an Islamic jihadist. And you know, Jamie Glassoff nails it. Jihad denial. It's exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood campaign is about. It's a jihad denial. And immediately, under CARES website, you will not find one peep about the Boulder, Colorado Islamic Jihad attack, nor will you find anything, any story other than CARE condemning Representative Greg Murphy's comment to the anti-American Ilhan Omar. I mean, it's unbelievable. All Omar had to do was just stop right at "thoughts and prayers go out to Capitol Police officer and their families for the loss of a Capitol Police officer." That's it. You know what? You can't fault it. But no, because the anti-American Omar doesn't have command of the English language, she had to turn this into a political event. Imagine if he had an AR-15. He didn't have an AR-15. He had a knife. That is the weapon of choice for Islamic jihadists, followed by AR-15s. But no,
I can guarantee you, Vito, a lot of the population just heard AR-15, and that was it. They know nothing else. All they heard was her say AR-15. That's a part of the story, true or not. And she knows it. And she's doing it to advance the Democratic agenda, the Democrat Marxist agenda to weaken our Second Amendment. And that was all part of that play. It was designed. It wasn't an accident.
Yep.
It was an accident. It was when she was a bartender. You know she was a bartender, right? Well,
who?
I went into
Omar?
Her bar. Ilhan Omar was a bartender before she became an elected representative. Well, I went into her bar, and I said, "I'd like a Manhattan, please." And she looked at me, and she goes, "We're in New Jersey." And I said, "No, I'd like a Manhattan." She goes, "No, sir, we're in New Jersey." I ended up having to order a Corona. Now, I'm not saying that she's stupid, but she's stupid.
Well, she doesn't have command of the English language.
No.
Oh, my God. And you know something? It's funny you bring up the fact of the use of the word AR-15 in there. And that's really interesting because that is certainly all by design. That is something that Nancy Pelosi and I'm sure Communist Kamala and Biden wanted to make sure that that's put out there. Use the term AR-15. It distracts from the knife attack. It distracts from the vehicle. Don't even mention the vehicle attack, which ISIS actually inspired their followers to use in the West, like what happened in Nice, France, what happened in the bicycle path in New York City, what happened in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, use the vehicle to inflict terror. And, you know, that also prompted me. Hold on a second. I got it right here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry
well,
for
the other thing about the
pause
Boulder,
there, but
before you get
that also
the Boulder shooting. Before you jump in, the Boulder shooting was a classic Islamic State attack on a soft target.
Yes.
They went into a grocery store, a superfood market. Happened to be Jewish owned, that was a bonus, but they went in and it was a soft target. There should have been fear throughout the country that the Islamic State is now targeting soft targets like grocery stores. But they denied the jihadis even that victory. That was the only plus that came out of it, is they didn't say anything. So they denied the Islamic State that win. But still. Anyway, you were saying.
Well, hey, that reminds me, in November 2015, what did ISIS do? They went into a Jewish grocery store in Paris, France, and killed four people because it was a Jewish-owned. But you also have the inspiration from ISIS. You have the inspiration from imams around the world to their followers of Islam. And certainly Noah Green was a believer. He believed in Allah. He believed in the word of Allah. He believed in Muhammad. Chapter 4, verse 71, are you who believed? Take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. So go to war in separate groups would be go to war as an individual. Use that vehicle, ISIS inspired. Use that vehicle. Why is that important? Because chapter 4, verse 84, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. That's the inspiration. You provoke the believers. You provoke the believers. Who is a believer of Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad and Allah and Muhammad? You provoke the believers. This is the guide, okay? The Constitution is the word of Allah, and it cannot be changed. So what are the Islamic organizations doing? What are the terrorist organizations doing, like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda? It is using the words of Allah to provoke the believers. Use a vehicle to kill the infidel. Use the vehicle to instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. You don't need an AR-15. You don't need a knife. Use a vehicle. This is where we are losing. We are allowing the Islamic organizations to define jihad, to deny jihad. We are allowing the Islamic organizations to define victimhood. And immediately, Ilhan Omar is the victim. Not her insensitive and reckless remarks, not her anti-constitutional remarks. She's now the victim, where in fact there was absolutely zero, zero, 0.0, okay, racial connotations with that remark that Representative Murphy had stated. Zero, zero. But what was it? Mr. Blutarsky, zero. Oh, there he is.
Mr. Blutarsky. Mr. Blutarsky.
Zero. That is Islam in action in the United States of America. Turned the Islamic Jihad terrorist attack into a victim campaign for their fellow anti-constitutional, Sharia-compliant individual, Ilhan Omar. And she was excused by the Speaker of the House, don't forget, after her grossly anti-Semitic remarks by Nancy Pelosi coming to her rescue and stating Ilhan Omar doesn't have command of the English language. Like Al said, she used the term AR-15 for a reason. That is the soundbite. That is to instill and distract. And it's exactly what Hamas Care does. They distract from the facts. They never acknowledge. Matter of fact, they deny any jihad took place. In the meantime, 10 people are dead in Boulder, Colorado. One police officer is dead in Washington, D.C. Those that were killed in Boulder, Colorado, Denny Strong, age 20, Nevin Stanisic, 23, Ricky Oles, 25, Trelona Bartkowicz, 49, Suzanne Fountain, 59, Terry Leiker, 51, Boulder police officer, Eric Talley, 51, Kevin Mahoney, 61, Lynn Murray, 62, Jody Waters, 65 years old, killed by a 21-year-old Muslim male jihadi who was born in Syria.
Just disgusting.
Mr. Blutarsky. 0.0.
I got to tell you, my niece just texted me. It appears that they are going to be banning this Dr. Seuss book. It's called Disorder at the Border by Biden's Executive Order.
That's good.
Disorder at the Border by Biden's Executive Order. They will be banning that, I'm sure. Yeah. You want to talk about deniers? There's a denier right there. The border crisis. You know, not even to make light of it, okay? And forget about, you know, being sensitive, okay? Forget about it. There are illegal aliens who are entering the United States of America, and thank you to dictator Joe Biden and communist Kamala. Their feckless and reckless policies have endangered America, have endangered Americans, and have compromised national security. You know, we have a plandemic, and this is something that we weren't planning on going down this route, on this road, but there is a plandemic that we're told that we must remain indoors. We're told that we must wear one and two masks. We're told that we cannot we will not be able to travel unless we get these vaccines. You got to get your vaccine, and it's important that we vaccinate America. And we know we're told about our travel and our right to free speech has been suspended. Our right to peaceably assemble has been usurped and abridged. Our right to redress the government has been abridged. Our right to practice our religion has been abridged. And what happens at the border? You've got dictator Joe Biden, this feckless, frail old man who wants you and me to wear two masks wherever we go, limit our travel time. And these illegal aliens come into the United States of America. They penetrate our borders. They drop off their kids. This is the kind of child abuse that we're watching and witnessing in the United States at the border, with these people dropping their illegal alien unaccompanied minor children at the border. And what's the answer by dictator Joe Biden? Is to allow these people to disperse them within the confines of the United States of America. And you know something? These people are infected with the Chinese virus. The illegal aliens are testing positive for the Chinese virus. And this administration, this failed and feckless and fraudulent administration that is run by dictator Joe Biden, is allowing the entry to people who are infected, illegal aliens who are infected with the Chinese virus. And where is the media? They're absolutely silent. There's crickets. Here's the media. This is the DNC media. Hear that? Crickets. Okay? But you and me go outside without a mask. God forbid, you won't be able to get food. You're not let into a grocery store. People look at you like you've got leprosy. And yet you've got this feckless and frail fraud in the White House, dictator Joe Biden, who is allowing illegal aliens infected with the Chinese virus to spread this virus throughout the United States of America. What is it? Is he trying to ensure that the Chinese virus is never stopped? How in the world could a person who reveres the United States of America, who reveres the Constitution of the United States, who reveres national security for the citizens of the United States, could allow this to happen? Absolutely unconscionable that we have come to this point in our history, in our time in the United States of America, that we have a president of the United States who is installed by the Washington machine, who is absolutely acting recklessly and has abandoned any type of rationale and has absolutely usurped national security by allowing illegal aliens to enter the United States with the Chinese virus and then demand the American citizens don't go to work. Demand the American citizens sit in their fucking houses. Demand that the American citizens wear two masks. And illegal aliens are being distributed around the United States of America infected with the Chinese virus. This is as bad as King Kumo killing 15,000 Americans in nursing homes in New York. The frail old fraud, dictator Joe Biden, should be ashamed, but he has no shame because he's a member of the Democrat Communist Party, and the people, the American people deserve better. We are sold a bag of bullshit about this pandemic. We're sequestered to our homes. We're sequestered to wearing two masks, to wearing three masks. We're being programmed that we can't go anywhere. Oh, you can't go to church and pray on Good Friday. You know, we can't have a congregation of more than five people, than six people. But in the meantime, illegal aliens come into the United States infected with the Chinese virus, and they're not turned away, and we let them in the door. And to boot, this administration is driving them to other states around the country. How do you like that, Dubuque, Idaho? How do you like that, Hartford, Connecticut? How do you like that, Boston, Massachusetts? Massachusetts is sitting there scratching their head. How we've gotten increases in the Chinese virus. More people are coming infected. Oh, we got these Brazilians coming in from South America. Oh, how is that working for you, Providence, Rhode Island? How is that working for you, Syracuse, New York? Huh? And then we have to show. Oh, and thank you, Belly. We're going to have to show a vaccine passport to fly. Maybe to take a cruise? Did you get your vaccine? No, I'm here legally. I'm not an illegal alien where I can freely, you know, prance around the United States. This is absolutely sick. There is something really wrong with this whole pandemic. Al, there is something absolutely wrong where we have a president and we have a vice president, you know, cackles, who laughs about everything, who they sit there and they have absolute total disregard for our national security. Are we in a pandemic mode? We shut down the United States of America economy because of this pandemic. We were told ad nauseum that we can't go outside and you have to limit your and wear a mask and wear it in your car and don't congregate. You can't have Thanksgiving. You can't have Christmas. In the meantime, there's a surge at the border. Illegal aliens infected with the Chinese virus. Not just infected with the Chinese virus. They're absolutely put in places inside the United States, Omaha, Nebraska, Miami, Florida, Mississippi. I mean, this is absolute insanity. It is insane what we are seeing and witnessing today.
Well, it gets deeper. Breaking news.
Okay.
There's media reports about a fourth wave of the flu caused by double mutant COVID variant found in the United States. It's called a double mutant variant of the first variant. Found in the United States. Fears growing over a potential fourth wave. I missed the third wave, but now there's a fourth wave.
How convenient.
Buzzwords like mutant. Yeah, buzzwords like mutant and variant haven't scared Americans into submission. Big media is now telling the public that a fourth wave of COVID is around the corner because of a double mutant variant found in the U.S. These COVID tyrants want you cowering in fear. But we recommend four masks and one extra in inventory in case you need it, because this is a double mutant and four masks are the answer. The only answer. So you must wear four masks, according to President Biden. Soon to recommend.
Isn't the timing of that article, isn't that really, really great? You know, just when it's breaking that illegal aliens are being disseminated around the United States who were infected with the Chinese virus, suddenly hysteria is to go out there about a fourth virus, a fourth mutant, you know, left-handed, you know, mutant midget virus that's out there, okay? But you know what? We're not talking about the illegal aliens infected with the Chinese virus being disseminated around the United States. How convenient is that? Just go ahead and instill more fear. But in the meantime, we're letting people into the United States who have the infection. We have no idea what kind of infection that they have, what grade it is, if it's mutated two or three times. Is it the Guatemalan mutation? Is it the Brazilian mutation? What is it? I mean, this is just more of deception by this government, by this disingenuous government under this dictator Biden.
Yeah. Well, there's something going on here because, like you said, the timing of it's interesting. Now, I see it and process it. You have Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a loud and strong voice saying absolutely no to passport
vaccine
virus
passports.
Yeah, virus passports. What that means is that you can't travel unless you have a proof that you have taken the vaccine. Now, this vaccine passport will limit people's traveling. It'll force people to get a vaccine that they may or may not want to take for whatever reasons that they may be. And it chisels away at our freedom of movement, which is huge. It is a constitutional gift from our founding fathers. Now, the governor of Ron DeSantis of Florida understands this, and he said, no, there will be no vaccine passport in his state. He will fight it tooth and nail. And the next thing you know, the fourth mutant virus comes out, the double mutant extra variant virus. There's always something new, something more to scare people with. But I think they overplayed their hand, and people aren't buying it anymore. I think the social conditioning has reached its tipping point, as all things do. That's what I think. And I think, now, who benefits from all this fear?
Who benefits?
I don't know. Yeah, who benefits from all this fear? Government?
Government, Amazon, you know, the big pharma, because they're going to get more tax dollars to create yet another variant type of vaccine. Oh, and by the way, speaking of vaccines, you know, I read in the coronavirus world news that they were dispelling the myths, okay? Did you know that it's possible that this Chinese virus vaccine that's out there may only be good for 6 months? Did you know that? And that you may have to take a vaccine on an annual basis to combat the Chinese virus? Did you know that? That's not out there.
Kind of like the flu shot.
Right. You get your tetanus shot every, 5 years or 10 years. Then you'll get your pneumonia shot every year. You get your flu shot every year. And you'll get your Chinese virus shot every year. And, you know, all this shit that goes into your system, okay? And suddenly you get your vaccine passport. Now they monitor, the government monitors wherever you go, and then they look at it and they say, okay, so you've got your vaccines April the 5th of 2021. It's now April 10th, 2022. I'm sorry you can't come in because the vaccine shot that you got was only good for 6 months. So you're going to have to go ahead and get tested again, and you'll have to get another Chinese virus shot in order to travel on this airplane. Well, wait a minute. If I don't need an ID to vote, why do I need an ID to get into, you know, to this plane? I don't have, you know what? We've now have a seventh strain, a seventh mutation of the Chinese virus. So you're going to have to get another shot.
I'll circle back if there's more I can share with you. I'll circle back with you if there's more to convey.
Jinsek, that's right. Let's circle back to the geopolitical implications of all this.
Okay, go ahead.
China, the communist Chinese benefit, because we are in a war with the Communist Party of China. We have been in a war with the commies for years, and nobody's ever known it. It is an existential threat. It's called demographic warfare. There's an existential threat. It causes stress on our citizenship. It's opportunist, and they move to exploit the U.S. cartels primarily at the border. But they win. The Chinese win. Not only do they win because we're in a constant state of fear and chasing this virus that they unleashed on the world, but think about the stresses personally to our families. I mean, families have split up over this. You've got some family members who swear by the vaccine, and they say, oh, just take the vaccine. And then there's always the minority outlier or the person who says, well, you know, I have vaccine intimidation. I'm a little afraid of it. I'm not going to take it. And then they get exercised by their family.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
It's been known to happen. Yeah. And they're looked at like they're cross-eyed, conspiracy theorists, all because they think, well, they look at it this way. They say, okay, we got this virus. It's real. And it can be very dangerous with the right demographic, but it also has a 99.8% survivability rate. Now, that person will say, well, gosh, with a 99.8% survivability rate, why the hell do I need a vaccine? I'll just get the virus, take hydroxychloroquine if I can get it. If not, I'll just ride it out, and I'll be hopefully not the 0.2% that dies, and chances are good you got a 99.8% chance of living. I'll take my chances. Now, you try to explain that to somebody who is also a face mask Nazi, and if you choose not to wear your face mask, then you become that pariah within your family, at your work, wherever else you congregate with other people, at your church, you become the no-mask person because it's virtue signaling. It's social conditioning. Your mask doesn't stop anything because the virus is 0.5 microns small, as everybody knows by now, I hope. So it doesn't do a damn thing. But it lets people know that you care, and you care a lot. And you care for the human race, and you're willing to wear a mask, not only to keep yourself safe, to keep your neighbors safe. Pretty powerful stuff to have to go up against, don't you think?
Well, it is, and it reminds me of feelings.
Yes.
Nothing more than feelings.
And it's true. If you don't feel to help your community by wearing your mask, you are a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. You may even be killing your own family members.
But wait a minute.
You've been told.
But I've got the Chinese virus vaccine. What? Now I don't
right.
get it. If I've gotten the Chinese virus vaccine and I don't wear a mask, am I still killing grandma? I mean,
well, even if you get the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask. So it's not the mask. It's about social conditioning.
There you go. It's about social conditioning. I got to read what Bigfoot comment in the chat room when he was talking about the four mutants and the double mutants. He goes, is a double mutant virus anything like double secret probation? A reference to Animal House. I love it. I love it. I just watched that. And then I also have to give kudos to Belly. You know, you talked about China, okay, and who benefits from this. This Chinese virus, China has benefited immensely from. One, it was designed to help tank the American economy, the Western economy, and it helped tank the U.S. economy. And in tanking the U.S. economy, it was an effort to get rid of Donald Trump. And getting rid of Donald Trump also means the suppressing of any type of Chinese tariffs on China. And while the United States was trying to find its footing, and while it was losing grip with the Chinese virus and dealing with what China had inflicted onto the West, a virus, China built up their economy. You know, in the in the province of Wuhan, Wuhan province, there were only 91 or 97,000 deaths that were reported by the Chinese Communist government. And I don't, you know, if you believe that, I also have some land in Florida, some swampland in Florida where you can build your condo. But in the process, Al, as the United States economy was purposely tanked, the Chinese capitalized on that. The communist Chinese capitalized on that, and they built up their economy. And they did so in a quest to supplant United States of America as the number one economy in the world. To look upon the United States as a bastion of democracy and a bastion of liberty and hope. And you know what? The Chinese communists were successful in that. And so if a fourth variant comes out, if you continue to sequester Americans to their homes and condition them to work from their homes, condition them to wear masks and not walk around freely, one, you've been able to kind of dismantle the U.S. Constitution, which this administration has done successfully. They have abridged all five components of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And clearly, with anti-American, anti-constitutional Ilhan Omar's remarks about the AR-15, the next quest, of course, is the continued dismantling of the Second Amendment. So all five components of the First Amendment have been abridged by the government: freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to peaceably assemble, and freedom to redress your government for grievances. And now, of course, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed, okay, is being abridged. And so we have a couple of components here. We have an administration who is helping and assisting, aiding and abetting the communist Chinese to be the number one economy in the world. China, who inflicted the Chinese virus on the world, is the primary maker of masks. Wow. And as you said, basically the Chinese virus, the bacteria, the virus, the viral component can get through a mask. And you actually described it very well. Think of a chain link fence trying to keep out a mosquito. And a mosquito can easily get through that chain link fence. And that's exactly what happens when you wear a mask. So all of this is conditioning. And the government, especially under Dictator Joe, especially under the fascist Fauci, they have done a masterful job in duping the American people. So much so that you have mass Nazis who follow you around and then berate and bully you, including the bullying by another newsreader on DNC MSNBC. I didn't hear the whole thing, but did you see last week where Joe the Killer Scarborough, he was berating and bullying people who decided and opted not to get the Chinese virus vaccine. And see, this is the left wing. They cry, they whine, they piss and they moan when they're offended, but they have no problem in berating and maligning people at every front. And in this front, they're maligning people if you don't get the Chinese virus vaccine. Oh, my God. I mean, he went off on a tirade. Oh, but you know what? It's the same liberals, though, that don't have a problem with sitting behind the old notion, the slogan, I can get an abortion. It's my body. Oh, really? So why do I need to get the Chinese virus vaccine? This is my body. With a 99.7% survival rate, which, of course, now the CDC and the left wing are trying to manipulate that number as well, but it's a 99.7% survival rate, and you're telling me that I have to violate, you're going to violate my body with a Chinese virus vaccine that's only good for maybe 6 months now, okay? And then you're going to restrict my travel, and you're going to invade my body, and you're saying it's okay for a woman to get an abortion because you can't violate her body. Okay, I get it now. I get it. The double standard here. Sure. In the meantime, the Chinese are taking over the waterways. The Chinese are seems appearing that they're being more aggressive towards Taiwan. The Chinese are now becoming the number one nation, number one trade nation in the world. The Chinese signed an oil deal with Iran illegally. Okay, the Chinese now have infiltrated Australia and New Zealand, and they've become head of the ports in those respective countries. And now you have the Chinese who are infiltrating the United States. We have a Chinese spy who slept with and advanced Eric Swalwell's a political career from mayor to congressman, who now sits on the Homeland Security Committee. And then you have a Chinese spy who was Dianne Feinstein's driver for 20 years. Hey, there you go. It's okay. And then, of course, you've got Beijing Biden, whose crime family was supported heavily by China. Something that's not said, something that seems to be conveniently omitted by the media, but the Biden Foundation got $73 million from, you want to take a guess? China. $73 million from China for the Beijing Biden Foundation. Bet you didn't know that.
Ching ching.
Ching ching is right. Ching ching is right.
Ching ching.
Oh, here you go. Chinese mining companies got Algeria to let them operate in the province of Tindouf. That's right. Very good, Bigfoot. Thank you for that.
Now,
there you go.
The Bigfoot brings on let's circle back to Bigfoot. Circle back. These Chinese mining companies that are coming into these third world countries, these infrastructure companies that are coming in and building roads, oil pipelines, Chinese mining outfits. Now, when the Chinese come in to these third world countries that have nothing, and they've got a lot of money, they come in, and the contracts that they sign with the government are that if you do not repay the loans for these services, they don't come in and just give it to them. They make them pay for it. And if these countries do not pay their loans to China, then all rights for that facility and the land beneath it revert back to the Chinese government. That means that the Chinese government now owns or will own these mining companies in Algeria. They will own road and infrastructure projects throughout the Middle East and Africa, usually at ports of call. Oh, my God. And Fangfang, and we talk about it. I talk about it every week if I get the chance, is that every Chinese national in the United States that is here, whether they're a citizen or not, if the Chinese government calls on these Chinese nationals to do something or anything, whether it be nefarious, any type of intelligence gathering, they are almost forced to do it. If they have family back in China, the Chinese government will threaten those individuals that your family will be harmed, will go to re-education camps, will be put in jail if you do not do your duty for the Chinese Communist Party Republic or the Republic of China, and for your Chinese brothers and sisters. Now, that's some serious, serious leverage that they have on just about every Chinese here in the United States. So every Chinese American, every Chinese here is a potential national security threat. We've never dealt with anything like that before. Well, we did. I think about Japanese during World War II. Every Japanese is a potential national security threat, and we put them in holding facilities. And boy, did that create a little firestorm.
Oh yeah, right.
But nobody's talking about this. And Bigfoot's 100% right. These mining companies. They're like a loan shark. They say, oh, yeah, we'll come in. Yeah, it'll be 25%, 30%. And, yeah, we'll loan you 10 grand. And next thing you know, it's 30 grand. And then next thing you know, they own you if you live. If you have something that they can use, they own you. And that's what these Chinese people are doing, the Chinese government is doing in these third world countries. And we haven't even felt the effects of that yet.
You see, Al, this is why it didn't seem right. Something was wrong with this pandemic. And I am using the word pandemic because what it did is it took the United States out of the world equation, the global equation. It distracted the Western world, and it allowed China to regroup and to actually set their sights on Australia, on New Zealand, on the Pacific Rim, and then go into Africa and go into places like Algeria, South Africa, okay, other ports of call in Africa that we actually may not know. And then also they forged a deal with Iran. And so where is the United Nations, okay, with Iran and the sanctions? And you have the Iranian government, the Islamic theocratic regime, the oppressive regime in Iran, who cuts a deal with another communist oppressive regime in China. Where are they? Where's the United Nations? Absolutely silent. The United Nations should rename itself to the Useless Nations. They're absolutely silent.
And then you take BLM, the BLM movement. It's run by self-avowed Marxists, and all of a sudden, last year's filing, $90 million was in their account. $90 million for Black Lives Matter movement that started a few short years ago with the Trayvon Martin fiasco. $90 million. Where do they get that much money? I suspect a lot of it came from overseas, from China.
Oh, and corporations too. You know, BLM should stand for blackmail. That's what it should stand for, because they blackmail corporations.
Yeah.
I mean, they blackmailed the NBA. They blackmailed automobile companies. They blackmailed corporations, including the NFL, No More Football League. Okay, you know, all this money, okay, it came from somewhere, and it came from corporations who were blackmailed, and they used race in order to blackmail these companies, and they're nothing but a communist organization.
Yep, and an expert propaganda. Their propaganda is so phenomenal. These commie bastards, they are so very good at it. Between the Russians and the Chinese are so very and. It's naive to think that the communist Chinese and the communist Russians cannot get stories planted into the press, or cannot get writers, reporters to slant stories in certain ways. For example, the shooting in Atlanta all of a sudden became an Asian crisis, an attack on Asians. It had nothing to do with that at all, period. And that point has been proven time and time and time again, but it still comes across as a racial attack against Asians. But it's just not true. It's not true at all. So what's become of that? What's the fallout? Well, the fallout, in my opinion, is that all of a sudden they're trying to make Asians a protected class. Now, I remember from about 3 or 4 years ago was the fact that Asians as a demographic here in the United States were getting so many of their kids into these Ivy League schools because academically they were so far superior to all the other demographics, including white people, black people. It didn't matter. They were getting so many kids into Harvard and Yale and MIT that these Ivy League schools had to actually put the brakes on Asians coming in freshman classes. They had to stop that number so they get other demographics in because they were taking all the top spots. 25%, 30%, 40% of the incoming class freshmen were all Asians because they scored the highest.
Now all of a sudden
they're a protected species. They're a protected class. How do you go from being the top academic group in the country 4 years ago to becoming a downtrodden group, demographic?
Propaganda.
Doesn't that strike you as odd? Or is it just me? Does anybody else see that?
Propaganda.
Yes.
Propaganda.
Right.
It's the propaganda machine. that you're exactly right. And you know what? There's no qualms about it, because who's going to fact check these people? Who are going to hold these people accountable on the left? The DNC media is not going to hold itself accountable. The DNC media will do anything they can to sanitize the entire situation. The Asian strong, Asian matters, okay? You know what? It's nothing against, but what about the two white women who were killed in that terror attack in Atlanta by a sexual addict? Okay, don't talk about the sexual addict, okay, and the fact that the guy snaps, okay, and don't talk about the two white women who were killed, because then that also kills your narrative, okay, that mm-hmm. just goes against your Asian strong, hash brown, Asian strong, yeah, 5 years ago, like but you said,
six,
hash
six
brown,
Asians
Asian strong.
Dead and two others. Yeah,
yeah
six
and
dead
two
and,
others.
Six Asians dead and two others.
It's nice to know that if you're white, Asian. You're an other. Okay, yeah, or another.
I was offended. I had PTSD after that reporting.
And yet, you know, you want to talk about another act of cowardice? Okay, the act of bending, yielding, and submitting to political correctness. You know, we're watching it, and it's all unfolding right now. But what's funny is, you've got the Major League Baseball. MLB strikes out. MLB.
Oh. Strike three, you're out.
Strike three, you're out. Major League Baseball. Strike three, you're out. Major
Strike
League
three,
Baseball.
You're out.
That's right. They've decided, based on fake news and misleading and lying propaganda, and here's that word propaganda again, to pull Major League All-Star Game out of Atlanta. $100 million out of Atlanta, out of small businesses in Atlanta, out of the community in Atlanta, in Cobb County, out of charitable charities in Atlanta, Georgia. The pollution of progressive politics has perverted yet another piece of legislation and lied to the American people. These lies in the campaign of dis and misinformation, launching a propaganda campaign of deceit. Deceit orchestrating a lie, the new Georgia voting law is racist and restricts no one and restrictions. And I believe the word oppresses people was also used and their right to vote. And ladies and gentlemen, that's utter hogwash. It is a lie. Oh, and by the way, Major League Baseball, you know, you're phony as hell. Because you've not announced that you're going to terminate your policy of having to show an ID when picking up tickets at will call. Now, how is that not racist? How is that not institutional racism by Major League Baseball? What if a black individual comes to the window and doesn't have a photo ID? Can he or she bring their utility bill? I mean, will they be given their tickets or just summarily pushed away? You know, the propaganda by the progressive movement of disinformation is at its highest right now. To show how phony the outrage is, the Democrat Destructive Party propaganda is to preface the Georgia Voting Rights Bill as a Republican-backed election reform. You see, this is intentional division, a Republican-backed election reform. Now, was the $2 trillion Pelosi pork package identified as a partisan Pelosi Democrat COVID relief bill? Nope, it wasn't. So let's rehash one thing about voting in America. November is and has been the time voting occurs. Now, I know this may come to as a shock to everyone, okay? November is actually the month that we vote in general elections. Every 4 years, we vote in the presidential election. Now, voting occurs the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. Now, to keep it elementary, you know, for the left-wing lunatics, if November 1st follows on a Tuesday, then Election Day will be 7 days later, November 8th, because November 7th is the first Monday of the month. Now, I've spoken to relatives this past weekend who voted in every election since they were 18 years old, and that's over 60 years. Election day has always been the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. And by the way, there was no early voting. So as any Democrat Communist Party member or voter is listening, they can keep up with this. There was no early voting back in the 60s and in the 70s and in the 50s and in the 40s. Election Day in America was the first and is the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday. I know this comes as a shock to many of the Democrat Communist Party members. It's also the reason the mascot, the symbol of the Democrat Party, is an ass. Somehow today in the 21st century, voting has morphed into being racist. If a state requires a voter to produce an identification, that's now racist. But taking Beijing Biden's home state of Delaware, they require people of Delaware to present a non-photo ID identification while voting. That talk about racist. Delaware requires an identification to vote. And to boot, to show how racist Delaware is, which is the home state of Lion Joe Biden, they don't have early voting in that state. Now, that is disenfranchising voters. That is oppressing voters. So what does the state of Georgia now require in order to vote? If you go to the bill, and you know what? The worst thing in the world, Al, is to read the bill, okay? If you don't believe you don't believe the campaign of disinformation and propaganda by the left wing, go to line number 944. Start there in the next five lines. Any person applying for an absentee by mail ballot shall make application in writing on the form made available by the Secretary of State. In order to confirm the identity of the voter, such form shall require the elector to provide his or her name, date of birth, address as registered, address where the elector wishes the ballot to be mailed. So there's an option right there. And the number of his or her Georgia's driver's license or identification card. Line 949, issued pursuant to Article 5 and Chapter 5 of Title 40, if such elector does not have a Georgia driver's license or identification card, Chapter 5 of Title 40, the elector shall affirm this fact in the manner prescribed in the application, and the elector shall provide a copy of a form of identification listed in subsection C9. So you are not denied your right to register to vote. You are not denied your right to a mail-in ballot. If you don't have a valid Georgia driver's license or identification card, you must show another form of identification. There is nothing racist about the Georgia election reform bill. Nothing. It gives you options. You know, you got options. I got options. Okay. The form will be made available by the Secretary of State, and all you have to do is follow the instructions. Now, I know this may be tough for the Democrat Communist Party to follow instructions, to follow the rule of law. Okay. And it's written in English. And you know what? In Georgia, you can get it in Spanish too. So if you're that fucking dumb where you can't read, okay, the state of Georgia makes it available in different languages. And excuse me, 954, include a space to affix a photo or electronic image of such ID. Imagine that. The state of Georgia actually gives you options. Son of a gun, huh? Isn't that amazing? The state of Georgia is now so oppressive. They've adopted the same rules as the state of Delaware. The chief of the Jim Crow laws, okay, is the same state in which dictator Joe Biden hails from. That racist. Major League Baseball statement this weekend. Here's how absurd Major League Baseball, the cowards of Major League Baseball, read by Manfred. Over the last week, we've engaged in thoughtful conversation with clubs, former and current players, the Players Association, and the Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. He said in a statement, "I have decided that the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and Major League Baseball draft. Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions to the ballot box. Fair access to voting continues to have our game unwavering support." Fair access? In the 21st century now, you can vote 17 days prior to Election Day in Georgia. In the 21st century, the state of Delaware does not allow you to vote early. You tell me, how oppressive is the state of Georgia? New York has 8 days of early voting. 8 days. In the 21st century now, you don't just go and vote on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. I mean, you got to be too fucking stupid to realize that November, the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November, is Election Day. It's been like that for 100 years. But people are so fucking dumb in America today that you have to have early voting, because that would be oppressive if they were to go on the Tuesday in November to vote. And by the way, the polls open at 7, they close at 7. It doesn't mean if you get there at 8, you're being oppressed. It means you're being lazy. Now, in the state of Georgia, they've given you 17 days to vote. Now, how unthoughtful is that? There's the thoughtful conversation that the legislature in Georgia had. They've given you 17 days to vote, and Major League Baseball has a problem with the fundamental voting rights. Imagine that. Their decision is based on false propaganda, there, meaning the Major League Baseball, and by the left wing in America. A conscious decision by the Democrat Communist Party to deceive Americans, to flat out lie about Georgia's new voting laws, and Major League Baseball got political, falling for the phony propaganda by the left wing anti-American machine. It was once said that baseball is American as apple pie. Now the pie is sour grapes. Major League Baseball quoted some false propaganda sound bites, such as fair access to voting, like absentee ballots. Oops, that's in the bill. Absentee ballots are in the bill. Like the inability to produce a photo ID and an alternative is acceptable. Yep, that's in the bill. It's acceptable now. Here you go. In the actual bill, line 1025, 3A, all persons or entities other than the Secretary of State, superintendents, board of registrars, absentee ballot clerks that send applications for absentee ballots to electors in a primary election or runoff shall mail such applications only to individuals who have not already requested, received, or voted absentee ballot in a primary election. So you can't vote twice, and I guess that's being oppressive now. If you requested an absentee ballot, that doesn't mean that you vote absentee and then you go down to the ballot box and you vote again. That's not being oppressed. That means that you're committing voter fraud. And somehow that's morphed into being oppressed. But yet the provisions of the Georgia law allow for flexibility. 17 days of voting. 17 days. Not just vote on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. No, that's too complicated. That is so difficult. We have to have now not just 8 days like in New York, like no days in Delaware, but 17 days. And somehow that's become oppressive to Major League Baseball. We're not interested. The Democrat Party, the Democrat Communist Party, is not interested in fair and free elections. This is the campaign of misinformation. This is how dishonest the Democrat Party machine truly is. And Major League Baseball struck out on this. They should be ashamed. you know what? I could give a crap about Major League Baseball anymore. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to turn the channel. And you know what? I don't care about boycotts. I don't care about the campaign of rewriting history. I have a choice in America. I have a choice to watch Major League Baseball channel on my cable, or I have a choice of watching another channel. And you know something? Major League Baseball, you made it real easy for me. I don't care about your All-Star game any longer. I don't care about your daily baseball games. I don't care about the World Series anymore. You fucked it up for America. You had to get political. The New York Yankees started it last year or 2 years ago with the banning of Kate Smith singing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch for something that happened in 1931. And now Major League Baseball, you blew it. You blew it. All you had to do was stay out of politics. Play your fucking sport, okay? Give us something to just kind of forget about. Well, you know something? PGA of America, you got it right. The Masters, you got it right. You didn't fall for this propaganda crap that's emanated from the left wing in America who's dividing this nation. The fact that you're going to have the East Lake tournament at the end of the year, God bless you to PGA for standing firm. Masters, the Augusta National, God bless you. You know, you got somebody who's going to watch that all week. Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, you can go pound sand. I'm going to change the channel. I'm going to exercise my right to change the channel. I don't give a shit about you any longer because you don't care about the United States of America. You fall for this phony propaganda bullshit. Read the bill, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Times did have the bill in PDF form. I've read every page of that bill. There is no oppression in that bill. Dumb enough to where you can't get an ID or you can't vote or you don't know that November, the first Tuesday following the first Monday, is election day. You don't deserve to vote in America. This country has made it so damn easy for an individual to vote. You go and get a driver's license. You can register to vote. I mean, what do you want them to come to your door and sit down with you at dinner? Okay, take your application and give you a vote, an application to vote, and then come to your house on election day or 17 days prior and help you fill out the ballot? I mean, how lazy can the American people be? You've got people in Iraq who are getting their thumbs colored in purple and proud to vote and then getting killed by ISIS, but they had their God-given right to vote and they loved it. They didn't vote 17 days prior. They didn't vote 8 days prior. They voted on election day and they knew the consequences could be death. And in America, we have a bunch of lazy individuals, thanks to the propaganda of the Democrat Communist Party, who has put out these lazy-ass Americans who want something for nothing. Cherish your right to vote. It's the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November. It's not a mystery. It's not something that happens acutely. It's every freaking year. You go in at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You don't go there at 6 a.m. expecting to vote. You don't go at 9 o'clock at night and expect to vote. There are rules. Can't you just follow the goddamn rules one fucking day a year? Is that so difficult? So now we've got it 17 days, Al. You got to vote 17 days prior to the election. I mean, this is absolute insanity. We have absolutely conditioned people to be stupid, to be lazy. It's not difficult to vote. My God, it's very simple. What is wrong with the United States of America? Does the pollution of progressive politics dumb down Americans so much so that they can't tell the difference between voting absentee, voting in person, and voting on the first Tuesday following the first Monday? Truly amazing. It's, and Major League Baseball falls for this crap. Delta Airlines, Delta's another one that spoke out against this oppressive voter red bill. Oh, really? Okay. By the way, why don't you just let me on your plane without showing an ID? As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to my nearest airlines, and I'm going to just say I want to go on flight 575 Delta. Just let me on.
You can't get on. You got to show an ID and a ticket.
Well, why? If I don't need a if somehow showing an ID to vote is oppressive, why is Delta not outraged and calling it racist that TSA is requiring passengers to show some form of ID in order to board their plane? Somehow that's not oppressive. To stand in line with sweaty people who are dressed like pigs, okay, and who are going to board a plane, and I got to show an ID for the privilege of flying on Delta Airlines. And Delta doesn't have a problem with that. Why doesn't Delta require Hartsfield International Airport to do away with showing IDs? Huh? How isn't that oppressive? I mean, this is insane. Absolute insanity, Al. Dropboxes are also the center of attention in Georgia. So fraud's not a concern of the Democrat Communist Party. Legitimate voting is not a concern of the Democrat Communist Party. It's a soundbite. Like every vote should count being a soundbite. So as long as the Democrat Communist Party can lie, cheat, and steal an election, they'll play the victim and cry foul and racism at every turn. It's just, it's incredible how dishonest the Democrat Communist Party is and has become.
Oh, and it gets worse. Representative Jeff Duncan is putting the roadblocks onto this madness, into this madness. He tweeted on April 2nd, 3 days ago, he said, an overwhelming bipartisan majority of Americans support requiring an ID to vote, and any organization that abuses its power to oppose secure election deserves increased scrutiny under the law. In light of the MLB's Major League Baseball stance to undermine election integrity laws, I have instructed my staff to begin drafting legislation to remove Major League Baseball's federal antitrust exception. And that's good.
Oh, baby. That's fantastic. Are you kidding me? That one gets an applause. Yeah. Remove their antitrust and public funding of stadiums. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. This is a really big deal. But now what the Major League Baseball did on the same day or the same time frame that they did this, they also signed a deal with Tencent, T-E-N-C-N-T, Wednesday, one of China's largest tech companies. It's one of the Chinese firms that briefly dropped NBA games in 2019 after former Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey publicly voiced support for pro-democracy protesters facing a Beijing-backed crackdown in Hong Kong. The new deal grants Tencent rights to stream Major League Baseball games in a number of Asian countries until 2023. Back in 2018, the MLB and Tencent, Chinese-backed government Tencent, reached another deal that granted the company streaming rights for 125 games in China. So here you have Major League Baseball saying, screw you, Atlanta, for wanting election integrity. And then, on the other hand, they're doing business with the communist Chinese. By nature, as Marxists, they don't believe in free elections at all. They believe in putting concentration camps for certain demographics. They'll put you into re-education camps. They'll kill you. They kill America. They'll kill anybody that is a threat to the Communist Party. And that is the choice that the Major League Baseball took. Okay, now what is the societal impact of this? Because like this little piece said, excuse me, this wasn't the first time that this happened. They got their fingers into the NBA as well. Tencent, there's no such thing as private enterprise in China. This group Tencent is an agent of the Chinese government. The Chinese government runs their public enterprises and private companies too. So what happened? Do they love the fact that we're sitting here railing on Major League Baseball and saying that screw the MLB, I'm not going to watch anymore? It tears, in my opinion, Vito, this tears at the fabric of our American culture. Because there's nothing more American than baseball. Baseball and national sports like this, they transcend race, party, color, religion, national origin, everything. People who follow sports, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, yellow, and other or not another. It doesn't matter if you're one of the 32 gender or genderless people, whether you're male, female, trans, it doesn't matter. You can talk sports with anybody and everybody who likes to talk about sports, including baseball, basketball. I watched axe throwing on ESPN the other day. We could talk that at the water cooler too. Golf, tennis, NASCAR,
bowling.
But now they're attacking Major League Baseball. They're ripping Major League Baseball. They're ripping the country in half. And I can guarantee you, if I am a communist Chinese monitoring blog talk radio, I am clapping my hands, going, yip, 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 yip. Yes, in a Chinese, mocking Chinese voice. They are loving the fact that we are up in arms over this and that this, they're tearing our culture apart. Now, this is from a culture-wide point of view. This is one of those things that moves very, very slowly and can be reversed, but for right now, you know, I'm not going to watch another Major League Baseball game. As far as I'm concerned, Major League Baseball can kiss my ass.
Agreed.
And it makes me sad to say that because I like watching baseball. I even like listening to baseball on the radio if you have a good announcer. Because I can visualize it in my brain. I have very fond memories of a kid listening to the Atlanta Braves on the radio. Listening to the Chicago Cubs when I lived up in Chicago. Listening to them on the radio while I'm at work.
Oh, my God. Like Harry
that.
Carey. Yes.
Oh, he was the best, the seventh inning stretch. Even his son, the Atlanta Braves, wasn't as good as his dad, but he was a good announcer.
Oh, Chip Carey. Great.
Yeah.
You know what? Chip Carey was fun to listen to. He was good. He was a good analyst, okay? I mean, that's the whole part of it. I mean, and they sold their soul to the communists.
I mean, he could paint a picture with words, and that's kind of what we do here a little bit with politics and other current events. And we take these events, and then we kind of extrapolate them out a little bit, see where it goes, see where it leads, why this happened or that happened. And everything kind of happens for a reason. If you look, you just got to look and see, all right, well, this crazy thing happened, but who benefits from it happening? And that's kind of what I'm doing more and more now that with this new administration, there's always who benefits the most because things are not what they appear to be.
Yep, you're exactly right. They don't seem to be what they appear to be. And in this case, the communist Chinese have compromised the Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball has submitted. And for them to sign this agreement is nothing but pure dollars. And that's how the communist Chinese know how to influence, by pledging dollars. It's the same way that the anti-American George Soros buys people, buys entities by throwing dollars at it. It's the same way the communists are influencing and trying to dismantle our republic. They have willing accomplices in the Democrat Communist Party. They have willing accomplices in the Muslim Brotherhood. It's all a mission, and we see it. You know, this pandemic, we see it very clearly. All five components of the First Amendment abridged. We're watching how the Second Amendment is being dismantled. And now the Tenth Amendment is under attack. Is the Fifth Amendment under attack? But the Tenth Amendment's under attack. States' rights.
You know, this one quick note, and we only have about 5 minutes left. You know, under this this other pork package, this phony progressive pork package that's put forth by Dictator Joe, you've got you have a pro union bill in there. Okay, removing right to work laws in 27 states. Now, to me, that's a clear violation of the 10th Amendment. You have the federal government taking away a state's right to work. And down in Florida...
Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means that the right to work...
Unions can come in?
That's exactly right. You'd have to join a union. In Florida, you can join a union. It's optional. It's not going to be optional anymore. This is how Dictator Joe is conducting himself. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about the U.S. Constitution, and they don't care about Americans nor national security. And Dictator Joe has proven that with the illegal aliens being disseminated, dispersed around the United States.
Yep. If you don't think it's a big deal, there's a big thing going on in Florida right now with Amazon, where there's unions that are trying to unionize Amazon workers, and there's union busters trying to bust it up. Because this is a right-to-work state, Florida is. So the government took that away from 23 states? How could they even do that?
No, they haven't taken it away yet. This is part of the boondoggle infrastructure scam package that's being put forth by Dictator Joe. And you know what? I was listening to Dana Perino on a radio show, and she had talked about this. And she discussed this. This 27 states are impacted by the removal of the state's right-to-work state laws.
Man, that son of a bitch Joe Biden's doing an awful lot in less than 90 days.
He sure is.
He may be sleepy, but he sure is. He or somebody is really pulling a lot of strings now because people will forget about all this in a year.
Yep. Yep, the message was we are going to remove Donald Trump from any source of history as president of the United States, and we are going full-fledged communistic on you, and that's exactly what they're doing. Tomorrow
You've
night.
You've been warned, ladies and gentlemen.
That's exactly
act
right.
Accordingly.
Just like the kids, you know, wrapped in Costco hot dog wrappers down at the border. tomorrow night, Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday, Hank Jones in Poly Sports, and I know he's going to be talking Major League Baseball. Paul Sutliff, the Sutliffian Report. He's got a new co-worker there, Leo Holman. So this will be great to listen to on Thursday. Friday, Dr. Andrew Harrod with Islam in Focus. Saturday, Minister Simon Dekduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hey, check out some other shows on Blog Talk Radio, including our beautiful Annie with Southern Sense Talk Radio, Tuesdays and Fridays on Blog Talk Radio. Chief in the room, thank you for the veto intro. Simple Facts of Life, he's on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And then Suzette Live, she's on Spreaker.com, 7 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And the Simone Nicole Show, if you want a break from politics, you're done with politics for at least 2 hours, check out Simone Nicole's show Wednesdays on Spreaker.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Great self-help show. You've got Joshua is fantastic. Good eating habits, good drinking habits, good life habits at all. Did you exercise today? I walked 4 miles today, Joshua. So, Al, any parting shots?
Wanan, friend. That's good night in Chinese. Wanan.
Wanan for you, wanan for me. I guess we're going to have to be learning Chinese soon, right? Hey, like us on Facebook and check us out on Twitter. Hash Brown, G, Patriot Radio, Hash Brown, Mama Mia, No Sharia. You all be safe out there. Thank you for joining us. and we'll see you next week, huh? Be aware of your surroundings. Ciao, everybody. Stay safe.
Adios, amigos.
Oh, I forgot Sue from New Mexico. Hello, Sue. Thank you for tweeting out our show. Oh, my God. I almost forgot Sue.
That's all, folks.
My timing is a little bit off today. You see, the screwing up my espresso, they just got me all kind of discombobulated.
Only off by a second.
All right.
Only off by a fraction.
I left out Sue. On the switchboard.
She knows. She knows. We all love Sue. She knows.
Yeah. Mama Mia hugs. You know, when I heard Dana Perino talking about that, the right to work laws would be upended and terminated by this massive pork package that does nothing for infrastructure, or what, 9% goes for infrastructure. The rest goes to, you know, paying off again. It's the progressive communist wet dream. But removing the right to work states is sickening. It's absolutely dictatorial. You've got dictator Joe Biden is doing everything he accused President Trump of. He is exactly what he accused President Trump of. He is nothing but a third world dictator, and he's turning this country into a banana republic. And the people that are pulling his strings are more dangerous than he is. He's just a front man, a feckless old fraud who's a front man. And the machine in Washington, D.C. is going to fix Americans' asses for having the audacity to elect Donald Trump in 2016. And I'm telling you, this is complete payback by the Washington machine. There's just something absolutely wrong. And you said it. There's something wrong. It doesn't add up what's happening. And then you see how the Chinese have absolutely advanced their agenda in the world, while Italy is on the lockdown, while the United States is on the lockdown, while France is on the lockdown, while Spain's on the lockdown, while Australia and New Zealand are on the lockdown, the Chinese are advancing. And they're pushing their agenda, they're strong-arming, and they're taking over, and they're using the yuan, okay, the dollars, to pervert the entire systems, like they've perverted the NBA, like they've perverted Major League Baseball, the bunch of whores that they are.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. People don't realize how much of a big deal this is.
Oh man, you laid it out perfectly. I'm telling you, you couldn't have laid it out any better, and it was very, very well stated, Al, earlier. You did a really good job of laying it out, and you kept it very simple. And it's just people have to be more aware, and the Chinese are banking on Americans being stupid and lazy, and we certainly are stupid and lazy, aren't we? I mean, how much more lazy can an individual be when you have the right to vote, when you have people in Iraq dying to vote. People in Afghanistan are dying to vote. And in America, we have to find ways to add, you know, a month to voting because people are too freaking lazy to go out on the first Tuesday following the first Monday to cast their God-given right to vote. It's amazing.
Well, when they say, oh, it's racist, what are you trying to keep the minorities from voting? And once you go down that road, then the Republicans cave and fold because they don't want to be labeled that. And the minute that they cave and fold, then the other side rightfully double downs on it, as they should. They sense weakness, so they double down. My opinion, we just got to say no, say F you.
Exactly.
But
what a great campaign. You know what, Al? We learned about this campaign, and you taught me this. You taught me because you get to see the other side of Hamas care. You get to see the other side of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you look at what the Muslim Brotherhood does and what they say. Okay, the Democrat Party has adopted and employed these tactics, and the tactic is fear. Use the term Islamophobia. Use the term racist, okay? Just like they did with incestuous Ilhan Omar, okay? Suddenly, Representative Murphy is a racist. There wasn't one racist statement that was made, one racist word made in that statement that Representative Murphy sent in reply to the anti-constitutional Omar. But the deception of the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups is to instill fear, is to bully individuals, and is to malign individuals and add a label to that individual. Label Representative Murphy a racist, and now Representative Murphy goes into a shell. And you know what? If he has any type of integrity, he fights back. If he has any type of balls, he fights back, and he calls out the anti-American Hamas care, and he calls them out and basically says, I'm not going to stand for, you know, you lying about me, you impugning my integrity, and you maligning and bullying me. I'm not taking it. And I'll tell you, I think he should do that. And what is it, the Tom Petty? I won't take it anymore. I'm just not going to take it. It's exactly what the Democrat Party is doing today, though. And you taught me that early on about the Muslim Brotherhood and the campaign of deceit that they've employed in America. The use of the term Islamophobia, as soon as they don't like what's being said, quickly accuse somebody of being Islamophobic, and then you move on, because what you've done is you've instilled fear into the hearts of that disbeliever. And that's the idea. That is the full idea. Call somebody, you know, an Asian hater, call somebody a racist, call somebody an Islamophobe, a white nationalist, and shut them up. But we're not going to take that, because it's a phony campaign. It's a lie. It's a deception. And Major League Baseball fell for that lie and that deception. And that's sad. It is truly sad. You read that bill, you read that Georgia bill, and you see there is nothing racist about that legislation. Nothing.
Nope.
Just, okay. I guess I got to wind down.
This is serious. I mean, think about everything that's happened in the last, 65 days or whatever it is? 65 days.
65 days. 65
this
days.
This has just been, it's been an avalanche of one thing after another, and it's all significant moves. And I didn't really look at it, but you kind of made that clear. This is removing anything and everything that President Trump did from the face of the earth. This is canceling him and his legacy of anything he did by executive order.
Oh, anything. Yes. Anything and everything that President Trump did. And the only thing President Trump was guilty of was revering the United States of America, was having the audacity to put Americans first. And I will say that over and over and ad nauseum. And you know what? We may lose listeners for this. And you know what? I'm not going to apologize for that. Because the fact is that the only thing that President Trump was guilty of was loving America. The only thing he was guilty of was putting America first. And just take a look at what Dictator Joe is doing just at the border. Where is the outrage by Americans that you have this administration is allowing people infected, illegal aliens infected with the Chinese virus, and then dispersing them throughout the United States infected? And in the meantime, we're being instructed, we're being told, we're being mandated that we have to wear a mask. We have to wear a double mask. We can't go outside. We have to stay 6 feet apart. In the meantime, you've got illegal aliens who are coming in and they're infecting Americans in the United States. And that's perfectly acceptable, because in the end, the end game is government needs to be in control. And you know what? I think the end game is if the more people they can infect in America, the better. Oh, and get your vaccine. You can't travel without a passport. Oh, okay. But if I'm an illegal alien, I can come into the United States infected, right? Oh, in the meantime, you know, people were turned away at Ellis Island who were infected, had smallpox, had chicken pox, had some sort of polio or disease. They were rejected. And now today it's called racism. It's called racist to be an illegal alien who's infected with the Chinese virus, and you're allowed to come into the country. Not only that, you're allowed to be put in any other city around the United States, and there's no cause for concern. But by God, if you're an American, you better be wearing a mask. If you're an illegal alien, we'll put you anywhere. Oh, but you're infected with the Chinese virus. That's not a concern. In the meantime, our seniors, who are the most affected by the Chinese virus, can actually die from any type of strain that's brought into the United States. And somehow, that is not a national emergency. Somehow, that's not a part of the national pandemic concern. So we let in and we allow illegal aliens to prance around the United States of America infected with who knows what. And
yep.
Infecting Americans all around the country. And Dictator Joe gets a pass by the left-wing DNC media, all because they hate Trump. They hate him.
And to think, God, the Republicans, all they had to do was support Trump with half as much enthusiasm as they did.
Yep.
Three-quarters of them were never Trumpers, establishment. And if they had supported him, that's what lost the election. That and the fraud, but overwhelmingly, I mean, they didn't even fight for him during his fight.
No.
They abandoned him.
They abandoned him. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not buying all this. You know, suddenly you've got these guys, some of these Republicans talking tough. Excuse me, but where the hell were you in 2017? Where were you in 2018? All you had was a president of the United States who revered the United States of America, who had respect for the American people. And you're telling me that a guy who's commanding 25,000 people in a blue state got his ass spanked by some feckless old fraud who launched his campaign in the basement? Bull. It's absolute nonsense. You've got social media is burying stories about Beijing Biden and his crime family and his crackhead whore son. Give me a break. Give me a break. I don't buy it for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't even get me started about Hunter and his. Oh, jeez.
I won't get you started.
Book deal.
I just had a vent. Oh.
And that laptop. Oh, yeah, maybe the Russians did steal it. And,
you're
going to get away with that shit.
How do you like that, huh? Now the Russians are back in the story. Oh, the Russians stole my laptop. I don't know if it was my laptop, but the Russians stole it. Yeah, how convenient is that? You wait. You see, again, you deflect. You deflect, you deny, you stay quiet. And in October, when the New York Post ran the story, they didn't come out. They didn't say a word. They allowed the DNC media to cover for them. They stayed silent. They stayed silent. And now, I don't know if it's my laptop. It could be my laptop. I don't know if it's my laptop. Oh, well, it's only your photos on there. It's your photos nude. It's your photos banging Malia Obama, snorting coke with Malia Obama. I don't know if it's my laptop. And he's allowed to get away with it. It's perfect. It's beautiful. You deny. You deny. You wait. You wait, and then you play ignorant. Oh, I was snorting cheese. Oh, I buy that one. Oh my God, you were. Oh, are you Italian? I'm surprised the CBS newsreader didn't say, I didn't know that you were Italian. Oh well, dude, I like the Italians, man. They make good cheese. You know, I was just snorting up my nose, and they have a big laugh. I'm surprised they didn't get cackles. Communist Camilla to come out there and start laughing with them. I mean, the laughing part, it's absurd because this is how they bamboozled the American people. They bamboozled. You know what? Hunter Biden is a creep. He's a scumbag. He's an addict. One thing about drug addicts, you feel sorry for them if they admit it and they try to reform themselves. But this guy, Hunter Biden, is a con man just like his father, just like the entire Biden crime family. And the DNC media is complicit in covering up for these scumbags. And Hunter Biden is nothing but a fucking scumbag. And he all they had to do was wait, deny, wait, wait, and now he emerges. I don't know if it's out with my laptop. Oh, in the meantime, the guy, the computer tech, he had to close his business and go into hiding. No one knows where he's at because of death threats. I don't know if that was my laptop. Oh, well, how convenient is that, Al? How convenient is that? Oh, it's beautiful. What a masterful job that the Washington, D.C. machine implemented. Beautiful. Condemn the New York Post for printing facts. A newspaper that's been in business since Alexander Hamilton, founded by Alexander Hamilton, one of the oldest newspapers in the United States of America, and they were taken out by a left-wing propaganda machine, Twitter. And then the Democrat Party stepped in, and they went into deniability on everything. This is how dishonest the Democrat Party and the Biden crime family are. Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Now I won't be able to sleep till about 2 o'clock tonight.
Mr. Sunshine, that's me. Mr. Sunshine, spreading joy and happiness everywhere I go.
All right, Mr. Sunshine, I got to go. Great show, as always.
Yep, that was fun. Have a great week.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me opine, and I'll talk to you this week. Sue, have a nice evening. Thank you for tweeting out our show. You're the best, baby. Mama Mia hugs to you.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.